Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. One of the main ingredients listed in Scripture for readiness in light of the soon return of Jesus Christ is prayer. It is essential, and people who pray in truth, that is, according to the Word of God, before the Lord and to the Lord, do not continue to sin. They live in the beauty of the victory that only Jesus Christ can grant to those who count Him important enough to fellowship with in prayer. In fact, Jesus our Lord said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26:41. I want you to memorize that verse, my friends. We'll read it again in a minute. That's Matthew 26:41. People who pray love God. They demonstrate their faith in God by communing with Him, whether it feels good or not. They communicate, they talk with Him on a daily basis. People who pray hate wickedness. They hate deceit and iniquity of every sort. People who pray fear God and love righteousness. People who pray prove they love God. They hate what God hates and they love what God loves. People who pray, praying people, walk with God in the Spirit. The love of the God they know, worship, love, and commune with exudes from their being. They walk and talk with the Lord, whom they are obeying. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Jesus is everything to them. He is truly their first love. These praying disciples of Jesus are looking and prepared for His return at any moment. They are living in eager and burning expectancy for His return because they love Him. The glory of God abides upon them. Again, Luke 18:1 says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." You see, friends, if you don't pray, you will faint. Prayer is to your spiritual life with Christ what breathing is to your physical life. If you stop breathing, you die. If you stop praying, you spiritually die, because you've chosen not to abide, John 15. That means to remain in vital union with Christ, and therefore you're going to rot on the vine and be cast into the fire, John 15:1-6. Watching and praying is not a suggestion, but a divine command, and not to be taken lightly, as did the 5 foolish virgins in Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, where the 5 foolish virgins were shut out of the eternal bridal chamber with Christ, the great bridegroom. According to Jesus, these 2 ingredients, that is, watching and praying, are essential in the life of the believer who is to endure to the end in order to be saved. In fact, let's read Luke 21:34-36. Notice Luke 21:34-36, Jesus says this, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged," that means to be weighed down, "with surfeiting," or overindulgence, that is, in the things of this world, food or otherwise. We're to beware. We're to take heed to ourselves. That means to take personal responsibility, lest at any time. Now, He's going to warn us about several specific things here. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. In other words, if you're indulging in the things of this world excessively, you're going to be weighed down by those things, and you must take personal responsibility to put an axe to the root and to continue to establish that Jesus Christ is God and He's the Lord and first love of your life, not yourself. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Even the cares of this life, which is not even a sin. And so that day come upon you unawares. You see, prayerlessness is a sin, not the cares of this life. But if the cares of this life weigh you down and smoke out or smother out Christ from your personal life, and you cease to commune with Him, the coming of Christ is going to catch you off guard. And you're not going to be with Him. For as a snare, verse 35, as a trap shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Does the Bible not say, in the twinkling of an eye, He's going to come? Watch ye therefore and pray always. Notice, pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. In other words, to be with Him. Notice there are three verses I want to point out. One we've already looked at, and it's Luke 18:1, which says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Also, two chapters later, right here, Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always. Notice the two words, pray always. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says pray without ceasing. Now, we mentioned prayerlessness, the sin of prayerlessness. And did you know that prayerlessness is a sin? Well, of course it is. We just read God commands us to pray without ceasing. He said to pray always. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Make no mistake, beloved, prayerlessness is a sin. Prayerlessness is a direct disobedience, a direct and deliberate disobedience to the command of God. Prayerlessness is a manifestation of faithlessness and rebellion. Prayerlessness, refusing to pray and continue to seek God in prayer, is the epitome of self-trust and self-dependency. Prayerlessness is the rejection of God in your life, the refusal to trust Him. Again, Jesus said, Matthew 26:41, our main verse, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You see, if you don't watch, you don't stay on guard at all times and be vigilantly seeking the face of God and serving the Lord, you will enter into temptation. You cannot overcome temptation by yourself in the flesh, just as you didn't save yourself. Jesus saves you. And now you are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. You are no longer your own, the scripture says. You are bought with a price, and God wants you to grow up from this time forward and mature and to walk in His ways, which are stated in the Holy Scriptures, Genesis through Revelation in the King James Bible. Again, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You see, temptation is going to be there until we're with Jesus. Every one of us will be tempted today until the time that we're with Jesus or in hell. And the only way that you can overcome temptation and not enter into it is to cling to Jesus, to seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I want you to memorize that verse, beloved. Again, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, slow up and think about that. If you don't watch and pray, what's going to happen? You're going to enter into temptation. And this is where the cross comes in. You've got to decide that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Colossians 3:3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. John the Baptist cried out, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. So when you're saying, Lord, I'm going to pray because you commanded it, whether it feels good or not, whether I'm sleepy in the morning, it doesn't matter. When the alarm goes off, getting up early each morning, I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be seeking your face. I'm going to watch and pray so that I don't enter into temptation. I do not succumb to the temptation, but I momentously reign over the flesh because I'm keeping my body under, keeping it crucified and under the dominion of the Holy Ghost through the crucified life, lest by any means, as Paul said, I in the end be shut out of, cast away from God and shut out of his eternal kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Again, Matthew 26, 41, saints, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're never going to overcome the flesh. It doesn't matter how many years you live unless you apply the cross in your life. And that's what Jesus said you must do to follow him. It's not a suggestion. It is a divine command, and it's for your good and God's glory. You must deny yourself, not aggrandize yourself, not love yourself. You already love yourself, and that's the problem for each and every one of us. We've got to choose to love God as supreme master and Lord and Savior of our lives. He must be our first love. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Your prayer life is a clear measure of how much you love God or not. You must choose to love, to seek, to worship, and to trust Him. In the hearts of those who are living in the pride of life, there is no need to seek God in prayer when pride and self-sufficiency reign on the throne of one's heart. The power of God working in us will be according to that which comes into us as we watch and pray before the Lord. Amen. Make no mistake, prayerlessness is a sin. Again, prayerlessness is direct disobedience to the command of God. Prayerlessness is a manifestation of faithlessness. Prayerlessness is the epitome of self-trust and self-dependency and self-idolatry. Prayerlessness is the rejection of God in your life, the refusal to love, to seek, to worship, and to trust Him. No need to seek God in prayer when pride and self-sufficiency are reigning on the throne of someone's heart. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5, Mark 14, I want you to read that chapter this week, friends. Read it closely and notice Mark 14 traces the steps to lapsing or sliding backwards, backsliding in one's relationship with the Lord. If a disciple lacks fervency in his heart toward God, the reason for his cold heart is found in Mark chapter 14. There is no mystery. First, we see how Peter, the apostle of Jesus, neglects his communion with God by falling asleep during prayer time. He chose prayerlessness, which led to powerlessness. Because of his failure, Peter followed Jesus afar off. Quote unquote, he followed him afar off. You're going to find that statement, that sentence, that phrase in Mark 14. Notice what happens when we don't pray, when we sleep for sorrow, when we sleep instead of pray. So Peter chose prayerlessness, which led to powerlessness. Because of his failure, he followed him, that's Jesus, afar off. He backed off of Christ. Are you backsliding, friend? If so, it's because you're not communing with God, right? Right. Because of his failure, Peter followed Jesus afar off. Then he warmed himself up with the world's people. Then Peter denies the Lord under intense pressure. Why? He fainted because he was not built up by Christ in prayer. Remember, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Also, Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. That's why Peter entered into temptation. He succumbed to it and was snared by temptation and sinned against Christ because he slept instead of prayed. One thing leads to another. Prayer failure leads to power failure. Little prayer, little power. Lot of prayer, lot of power. Let me say it again. Little prayer, little power. Lot of prayer, lot of power. For Peter, remorse ensued and then repentance. Again, this is Mark 14, which I want you to read and take out your mechanical pencil and your highlighters and notice the things we talked about, and you'll find much more on why people backslide. Peter denied Christ, as Jesus foretold he would. Not that Jesus ordained it, but he foreknew. And Peter denied Christ only because he denied Christ in prayer. He denied Christ the first place and first love in his life. On earth, we live under diverse daily temptations. Satan is loose. Those who love God will prove they will demonstrate their love for him by overcoming, by putting God first, by denying themselves, taking up their cross daily, and following Jesus, by living the crucified life they're called to. Isn't it funny that we never hear that message in the modern church, and it's at the center of the original gospel? Let me stop here to say this, my friend. If you're sitting under a ministry that is not constantly calling you, as Scripture does, to die to yourself, to lay down your life, and to let Christ reign in your life, to be crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 6, etc., you better run for your life. Such a ministry is absolutely apostate and false. Get away from it and only listen to preachers that are calling you to live the crucified life. Anybody else is a fraud, is what Paul calls enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. So those who pray, those who seek God, those who demonstrate that God is their first love, they refuse to leave their first love. They stay at the feet of Jesus, as did Mary. They will live forever with him. They have proved and manifested their love for him by communing with him unrelentingly. The genuine nature of their faith is proven in their daily actions. Their faith is real and not just empty words or lip service. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. These followers of Jesus who truly love him, as opposed to and in contrast with the many who claim to know him but don't, they bring all their weaknesses, their fears, their sins, their insecurities and doubts to the Lord in prayer communion. He cleanses, he assures, he strengthens and makes joyful their hearts because they love and they trust him. In that hour when they meet the Savior face to face, he will wipe away all their tears and vanquish all their sorrows. Amen. Andrew Murray said, as we come to a close here, saints, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. This is Andrew Murray quote. Jesus never taught, he says, his disciples how to preach. Is that true? Yes, it is. Only how to pray. Amen. Jesus taught them how to pray. We remember in Matthew chapter 6, what we call the Lord's Prayer is better called the disciples' prayer, where Jesus' disciples, beginning in verse, well, let's go Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in the certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That's John the Baptist. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. This is how the model prayer, some would call it. It's also found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. where Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said unto them, Jesus said unto them, I after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Again, Andrew Murray said, Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, only how to pray. To know how to speak to God is more important, he says, than knowing how to speak to people. Let me say that again, because those that are called out to preach the gospel and to feed his sheep, many times we spend more time talking to men than we do to God. And if we take more time communicating in prayer with God, he would more greatly empower us and anoint us in speaking to men. And by the way, we should always be praying for those that God gifts us or gives us the privilege and opportunity to speak to about him with his word. To know how to speak to God is more than knowing how to speak to people. Power with God is the first thing, not power with people. Christ loves to teach us how to pray. Andrew Murray. And before we close, Colossians 4:2, again, another command to pray without ceasing. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Jesus is coming, saints. And remember, Matthew 26:41, a memory verse for you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.